There is a very famous hadith, and this hadith is narrated by Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And he stated in this hadith that the meaning of the hadith is along this line, that the noble companions, their Jamaat was present, they were gathered together, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the noble companions. And the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, shall I not tell you of such an action that from all of the actions that you do, it is the best deed, the best action. Very great point, important point this was coming up. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said first, the khayri a'malukum, that all the deeds you perform or have performed, it will be the best, better than all of the deeds. Obviously we have the faraid, the compulsory deeds, we have the sunnah deeds, the nawafil, the range of deeds that we practice. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said again that all the deeds, firstly your deeds will be better than all your deeds, and secondly this deed will be most purest in the eyes of your Lord, your Malik. And the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum listened attentively, silently. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, that all of the deeds that you performed, that this deed will elevate your rank and status more than all of the other deeds that you have performed or that you practice. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, the fourth point, that if you spend gold, silver, a lot of it in the path of Allah, for the sake of Allah, but this action, this practice, this deed is greater than that as well. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you ever get a chance and you're in difficulty and there's somebody against you and he's clashing with you and he is hitting you and vice versa, and this deed is greater and better than that condition, that situation. So it's obvious here that we have different sort of mode of thinking. It's obvious our understanding, etc., is different, and this point doesn't really, it doesn't click with us that easily. And I ask for forgiveness of what I'm saying this with regards to the environment we live in and the dunya we live in. I'm saying this, but very few people understand the points made in this hadith in terms of amal. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, those individuals who understand these points, who did understand this hadith, then after generations or centuries, their names are still alive. It seems as if that they are still with us. And when we listen to what they said or read what they said, our iman is refreshed and strengthened and revived, and taqwa comes into our iman. So the difference between us and them is that they used to utilize the ni'mas of Allah, the favors of Allah. They used to wear good clothes, they used to eat good food, they used to also attend weddings and functions, they also used to know how to live in their homes. These individuals, it wasn't that they didn't know, they also knew how to fulfill their relations, how to maintain the ties with their relatives, they used to know how to come and go out and come back home, live. They used to look after their health, they used to know how to live in all conditions, how to run a business, how to do transactions, how to live in the dunya, how to sleep, how to wake up, how to live, how to eat and drink, up and down. We do the same. And when we pass away, there's nobody who goes with us to our janazah. And when they departed from this world, centuries ago, decades ago, and even today, we remember their names and we revive our iman. Their names are mentioned in kitabs, and the dunya remembers them. The people in the world remember them. If we die, even our children won't remember us or ask about us, or relatives won't ask about us, will they? And if they depart from this world, when they departed from this world, even the people who didn't know them, both those who knew and didn't know them, they are remembering them, reading the Quran after them, doing the khatam-i Quran for them, sending the ithali thawab after them for the deeds. So what's the difference between the two? These two examples, ajeeb, unique point. Both are human beings, us and those people who are remembered, the good people, it's obvious the difference here, subhanAllah, is that they understood this hadith and the points within this hadith very strongly. Clearly they understood and implemented. When they heard, for example, this hadith and these words and these points, then they realized. They had a realization that these words are being uttered by that blessed tongue, by that blessed person, by that blessed being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whatever he says, whatever he does is wahi, revelation. He doesn't speak out of his own accord, rather it's me who tells him to speak. So if such a person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying these words, he has such a rank and a status, and he is a personality the greatest, and that he's saying such words that are filled with nasiha and guidance and direction for the whole ummah, then tell me, why don't we follow this guidance? Why don't we follow this direction? Why don't we improve our destiny? Why don't we earn izzah, respect good respect? And why are we wretched in the environment, in the day and age we are in? The difference is just this, that the pious predecessors before us, they took the pearls, they embraced the pearls, they had yaqeen on these pearls, they had conviction and belief on these words of wisdom, and they were prepared to practice on these words, and whatever they had to give or sign away in this world, they gave it away easily. They didn't think that it was a burden for them. Rather, in every condition, in every second, they did amal on these words that our holy and beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to us. My brothers, I've not come here to give a bayan. I've not come here to give a speech. I've not come here to celebrate Christmas. That just understand that just as I was wandering on the way, I stopped en route just to meet you. I stopped. And this is a very great meeting, alhamdulillah. This is that meeting that we've got together here, my friends, my colleagues, that better than this, we, for example, if we were to meet in a more beautiful place, let's say we were to meet in a 5-star hotel, select the dishes, the food from the menu, and all the ease and the comfort of the world was to be there, and we met there, and then in comparison to that here, in the house of Allah, we are looking at each other, we have met each other, but this meeting, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, will give us on the day of judgment, on the day of Hashr, thereafter in paradise, it will allow us to be seated on the thrones that are studded with pearls and rubies. And this meeting in the world, if we were to meet, even after a long time, we'd say, oh, we met somebody. But these meetings are, mashallah, very great, my friends. They are memorable meetings and gatherings. And they are not those to be wiped away from the memory, and they won't, inshallah, be wiped away. These remain intact and are permanent, because the earth, not just the earth that we're sitting on, will testify about this meeting we are having. Not just this khanqa, this carpet one, and all of these will testify. This carpet, the earth, the building, but to testify for this meeting gathering, millions and millions and millions, so many angels are present here, that the whole heavens and the earth is filled with the angels. And they have recognized me and they've recognized you. And they've recognized our meeting and the purpose for our gathering. Have you got yaqeen on what I'm saying? Because I'm not speaking about myself. I'll come back to the hadith. I'll come back to this. That when we don't strengthen our yaqeen, don't bring it onto the platform of correctness, then we cannot attain the benefits from our yaqeen and our amal and our deeds. So as I was saying with regards to the hadith, that So much was this a big point for the Sahaba Ikram. Yani, there was no greater day of happiness than this for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them of such an action, such a deed, that it's better than all of the other deeds that they were performing. Recommended, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I tell you a deed that is the best of all your deeds? And shall I tell you a deed that is the purest of your deeds in the eyes of your Lord? Pure, totally clean. And the third thing that they were getting? The Allahu Akbar. What was that? That your darajat, your rank, your level, for which they were hungry. They were hungry for these things. Darajat, status. They were getting the heights in the dunya and the akhirah upon this action. They were getting the high level in this world and hereafter. And the fourth point, where Rasulullah ﷺ said that despite these amal, I will tell you further than this, greater than this, how your deeds will be accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You listen to what I'm saying carefully? How sad that if we hear about this deed, learn about this deed, and then we leave it, that will give us all of this, that is the best of deeds, purest in the eyes of our Lord, Allahu Akbar. And give the highest ranks. Brothers, don't forget what I'm saying. Remember my words on the day of Hashr, when nobody will ask for anybody, when nobody will care for anybody else, when there will be a bad situation. Insan, the human being, will be in such a situation that nobody will know him, nobody will recognize anybody, none of us will recognize each other on the day of the day of judgment, on the plain of Hashr. No one will recognize each other, no one will care for each other. We won't even remember who we were and who the others were. And what will happen at the time? There will be extreme regret at that time. To the utmost maximum, you can say regret. And alhamdulillah, the person who implemented on this deed, this action that I'm about to share with you after today, then subhanallah, he will be in a very great situation of ease and comfort. So there will be two opposite sort of groups, two opposite situations. One, those are extreme difficulty, remorse, regret. Why didn't I understand? Why didn't I practice? And the other group, the other extreme, alhamdulillah, will be those people who understood this message and implemented it. And it will be a great scene to see this situation status. Brothers, only a little bit of time is left. Mouth is close. Death is close. Death doesn't wait for the beard to become white in color. Death doesn't wait for us to become ill, or if the doctor gives the answer in the ward hospital that he's going to die. No. Death comes whenever it is time. Whenever Allah Ta'ala wills, He calls. He invites the person towards the death and the life of the hereafter. Whenever Allah wills, He will call. Allah knows best when I will die and when you will die, when we will be called. So we shouldn't be afraid of leaving, but we should prepare for leaving. So if we attain a good deed, an easy deed, that gives us the guarantee of all of these rewards, then look, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu were being told this, but we are the ones who will benefit, alhamdulillah. So will we implement this? Will we practice this? Very great deed. So the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu, the noble companions, became desperate. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said that, how could it be they didn't practice this deed after hearing about this? They said, Bala, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell us, may our parents be assigned for you? May our parents be assigned for you? What is this deed? What is this action? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, Subhanallah. Dhikr Allah is this deed. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah is this deed. What a great deed. Simple deed. Small deed. Small scale. Dhikr Allah. Simple and easy to do. By doing the dhikr of Allah, look what we will earn. What a human being earns. That all of his deeds will be the best of his deeds. Guarantee. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you do this deed, dhikr of Allah, it will be the best of his deeds. You have fardh and you have fasting and hajj and salah. And the question arises, Hazrat, how can this be? That fardh actions, the compulsory deeds that we do, they are fardh. They are the best, aren't they? They're the greatest. How can you compare dhikr to the fard actions? How can the dhikr of Allah as an action dare to compete or be better than the fard actions? The question arises, doesn't it? How can we describe that dhikr is superior than salah? How can we say that dhikr is better than salah? No one can. I can't believe this as a person. What's the reason for this? What's the reason between the fact that dhikr is greater than salah? Because we can't decline the hadith. We cannot reject the hadith. Can we not at all? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how can we then accept the point that dhikr of Allah is the best of deeds? Better than all the other faraid, the compulsory deeds that we must do, that we do all the time. And for example, it said here that we pray salah and dhikr is greater than salah. But it is greater than salah. Yes, it is. Now look here, the point to understand. That amal is that amal, deed, through which Allah Ta'ala is pleased. So the definition of deed for us is that which gives Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, isn't it? We know that salah is fard and it is afdal. So if Allah Ta'ala is not happy with our salah, then what's the point of the salah? So is it necessary that Allah Ta'ala, is it necessary that the salah I just prayed, or I pray that Allah will be happy with it, or the four fard I read, Allah will be happy with it? Not necessary, is it? So the main point is that salah is afdal. It is greater. Dhikr is not afdal. The afdal is salah. Great is the salah. But salah is afdal. Greatest at that time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with that salah. If Allah is not happy with that salah, then what is the value of that salah? The same salah when we present it in the court of Allah, then Allah ta'ala will wrap that salah and maybe throw it back in our face and say, I don't accept this. Take your salah with you and be gone with you. Allah may do this. He may reject our salah. Dhikr. So what's the reason that dhikr is afdal, greater than all deeds we do? The reason is that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept those deeds in which there will be ikhlas, sincerity present, inherent. In those deeds where ikhlas is inherently present, sincerity is within the deeds contained, which is pure. Any deed that we perform sincerely for the sake of Allah, purely for the sake of Allah, those deeds will be accepted, otherwise they won't be accepted. There will be many big deeds that people have performed, Allah will reject them. Qari will come, Hafidh, Alim, scholar, Hafidh, Qari, recite of Quran. They will be rejected. Bala, Shaheed will come. Rejected. Why? Because he didn't have sincerity go. The reason that I told you to do this practice, you have attained that in the world. You wanted your fame and status and glory. Go. Be gone with you, Allah will say. But dhikr, why did Allah Ta'ala make dhikr afdal? Greatest. The example is such that look, if we don't have wudu, I'll give an example. If we don't have wudu, complete wudu, then our salah will not be accepted, will it? Our prayer. So if I say to you dhikr, that is salah afdal or wudu afdal? Is prayer afdal greater or wudu? Obviously, if your wudu is correct, then your salah will be correct, your prayer. That if you don't have correct wudu, without wudu, your salah will not be accepted, can't be correct. So what does wudu do? It purifies your salah, prepares for salah. Same example, what does dhikr of Allah do? Allah Ta'ala stated that Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, when we remember Allah, there's a quality inherent within dhikr. When a person does the dhikr of Allah, then he creates ikhlas, sincerity within himself or herself. When you do dhikr, then sincerity will come into your salah. And when you have ikhlas, sincerity in your salah, then Allah will accept your salah. Accept your salah. And that's why I said that dhikr is afdal, greater, because dhikr of Allah, it improves, elevates your deeds. It creates ikhlas in your deeds, sincerity in your deeds. Those same deeds are accepted and will be asked about, will be asked on the Day of Judgment about salah and fasting and zakah and hajj. But those people who prayed salah with sincerity in their salah will be accepted. And ikhlas is not such a thing that you can buy salah, ikhlas from a shop. Oh, give me £10 worth of ikhlas, give me £15 worth of ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala says ikhlas, sincerity. Make effort, spend your life working hard and bring ikhlas into your life, and then you practice and Allah will give you, do the dhikr of Allah with sincerity and your deeds will be high quality. Tell me, can you get ikhlas by sitting at home? There may be from hundreds of thousands of people who get up in the morning and have the fikr that I want ikhlas, that when I go to pray fajr so that Allah Ta'ala accepts. No, I'm going to pray salah. Have you ever thought that I'm going on umrah or hajj with this niyyah, that Allah please accept this umrah? No, I'm going on hajj, I'm going on umrah, Allah will accept it. It's okay. We should have fikr first and foremost built in, that the deed that we are performing, that is that action present within our deed, that quality, that when we present it to Allah, Allah will accept this action. That, this is good, alhamdulillah. So for this, Allah Ta'ala said, that do my dhikr with abundance, so you can create ikhlas within you, sincerity. When sincerity comes within you, then all your deeds will be accepted. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that from all of your deeds, which one will be the best deed? The dhikr of Allah, which will elevate all of your other deeds. It will improve the quality of all of your other deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how important this is. Both things. Points. So, dhikr of Allah is the greatest from all the deeds. And how? The second point, that it's the purest of all the deeds, the cleanest of all the deeds. So the question arises again, that the dhikr of Allah, the person who does dhikr of Allah, it purifies a person, makes him clean, makes him transparent, and everything of his becomes clean and pure and transparent. So Allah Ta'ala says that it's the most purest of all your deeds. For example, water is the purest. So Allah Ta'ala said that the most purest thing that purifies everything, what is that action? The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. My remembrance says Allah, that if you take 1,000 kilograms of dirt and soil that's gathered around you, your body, and stuck to your heart of sins, and the dirt of all the sins for 80 years and 100 years, but when a person starts to say the name of Allah, his heart is washed, he cleans his heart, and the veils are removed, and the insan becomes pure, the human being becomes pure. Look, what a big point. Allah Ta'ala has given us a great wealth, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. And how many people are lost and are away from the dhikr of Allah? And I'm happy that we are all sat together for the dhikr of Allah. And my heart feels that you and me, we should do dhikr in the right way, with the sincerity in which there should be no laziness. Don't look at anything else. Don't look that I want to become a wali of Allah or a teacher, or I'm doing dhikr for kashf inspiration, or to see a dream, or if I see a dream or inspiration, I've become a wali, or for other points. No, the reason is for this reason, that the hadith has told us that the objective of doing dhikr is one, that we, our deeds, our lives, our practice comes into that department, that section, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to accept, or Allah ta'ala likes it and accepts us. That's it, end of story. This is the effort and the working hard in the life that we do for the sake of Allah's name and for the sake of Allah ta'ala's pleasure, and we do that by doing dhikr of Allah. That's it. And how much reward is Allah ta'ala giving for his dhikr? Look, there's another hadith. Now the person who does my dhikr, who remembers me, I am with him, Allah Ta'ala says. I am with him. Look at the great reward. When my servant does my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, then I am with him. This hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari in Muslim, that I'm reciting in front of you. Allah Ta'ala says that when a person does my dhikr, I am with that person. Is there a greater reward than this, that Allah is with us? with a person who does his dhikr. For which dhikr, as Allah Ta'ala said? For which action? Allah Ta'ala says, when my servant, man or woman, does my dhikr, I am with him or her. And if that person is a dhakir, then Allah is always with that person. As I said to you, I gave you examples before, that if Allah Ta'ala is with somebody, then you realize that Allah is with that person. Their lives are unique. The way of life is different. Unique. Their life is so unique and fresh and pure. Their story and events are unique and brilliant. And you realize that a person is close to Allah. That Allah is attached to a person. From his maqam, from his status, from his words, from his practice. By looking at that person, you can see. Have you not read the hadith? You will have heard. Subhanallah. This hadith. You will have heard this hadith. That if you see somebody and he reminds you of Allah, then he is a wali of Allah. He is the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is with that person. So obviously, for example, if you're traveling with someone or you see somebody else and two people, they meet each other. When you see that person, you'll remember him, won't you? That you've seen him before. Ah, yes, I've seen you. Or if you see two people together and you say, ah, I remember you. You've come in front of me now. I saw you before and I remember you, both of you. So that person, these are the words of the hadith. That when you see one person, he reminds you of the other person. That's a worldly thing. So if you see somebody and by looking at his face, you remember Allah. So what we learn here is that Allah Ta'ala is not there physically or present there with that person. But Allah Ta'ala is with that person. Allah Ta'ala is with that person. So why shouldn't we remember that person? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is with that person, close to that person. That person is close to Allah. He has an attachment with Allah. So when you see that person, you remember Allah. He has a life, he has no fear, he's not scared of anything, he has no feeling of loss or grief, he doesn't cheat or lie or steal or leave salah or kill others or beat other people or hit other people. He doesn't do dhulum on other people, he doesn't oppress other people. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is with that person. So he's just and fair and kind and generous, and none of his affairs are behind lacking. Allah fulfills all of his desires and requests because Allah is with that person. Hey, even if you put a dog with you, we will walk broad chested and big headed, and nobody can affect me because the dog's with me. So even if you're walking a strong dog down the road, you feel big and strong that no one can affect me. But those who are close with Allah, who remember Allah, they say Allah is with us and we are the best. If we say, oh, do this and do that, you'll get this reward and this and that. You say, no, let me do dhikr for a little while. Why are you doing dhikr? So that when I do dhikr and Allah will be with me, then all of these desires will be fulfilled. Everywhere they go in the world, their desires will be fulfilled, requests. For example, I need to go and apply for my passport, short time, I need help, or I need to invite people to a marriage, or seek for a partner, etc. They don't seek help from anyone. They bow their head down, Allah, 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 Allah. They have the tasbih, put it, tasbih in their bag, they go. They say, is it you who's come for the application? Yes, me. Oh, we already fulfilled your desire and your request and made your paperwork for you. How? How did you do this before? Because Allah is with that person. Subhanallah. So when the people, they say, oh, look, we saw you and you were pious and we remembered Allah and you've got nur in your face. You heard this, don't you? That this brother, he's nice. He's got nur in his life. And that person who's fulfilling your application, completing applications, no, you are zaif and old, you are pious and we feel ashamed if we don't help you. We are sinners. When we see you, mashallah, Allah is with you. We remember Allah. You reminded us of Allah. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullahi and Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullahi were great walis of their time. Hazrat Hassan Basri was a wali. Hazrat Rabia Basri was a waliyah, rahmatullahi. What is the meaning of friend of Allah? What I've just defined to you just now. They used to see each other, meet at times, and they were both walis in their own way. And it's not just the men folk or the arif billahs and the walis and the kutubs and the abdals. Allah Ta'ala also gives maqam and status to the women folk as well. And you'll see this in the hereafter. The women, when they will stand up, then me and you, we will lower our heads in shame. The subhanallah, this woman, she had this status, my wife, she was like this, she was so good, so high, I used to think of her as a waste of space. Astaghfirullah, I thought my wife was useless, and Allah has given her this status, that she was a waliyah, she used to live with me, the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. She had this maqam because my brother's status doesn't just come through prostration. No. Status doesn't just come through tasbih. Status and height and doesn't just come by waking up in the night. Allah gives sometimes the maqam, the high status to women through sabr. The women, when they have patience, they persevere, they get this rank and this reward. You show me, are we capable of giving birth to a child like our women folk do? Is this a big, small thing to keep the child for 9 months in the womb, to deliver the child? And after delivering the child, that the milk, to feed the milk from the breast to the child, to pick up its excrement and stool and urine, to clean its urine, and then to take your scolding and swearing and to cook food for us, and to hear all of the games and the tricks of the mother-in-law, to have problems and difficulties. And the woman, she cannot do as much ibadah as the man, but she has sabr, she has patience, she perseveres, she waits, she goes through a distress. What ibadah, Allah, did I do, says the woman? Allah says, you did it yourself. And she'll say, Allah, I didn't do anything. But when you had zulm against you, Allah will say, you used to have sabr, you didn't complain to anyone, your husband, your mother. You accepted that I am going to live my life with my husband. She used to cry quietly in the corner in the night. How did you know that when she used to go to her bed, that she used to cry and remember her sister, her mother, sometimes this person she remembered. But she used to stop out of fear and stop her sobbing. If you used to come and say, why are you crying? I gave you this, I gave you a locket and gold and bangles and a house, and I've put everything in your name. Why are you crying? And then we realized that the woman, she used to have manners and sit with respect and turn to Allah. And she used to be scared sometimes and not pray extra on Nawafil Salah. And Allah says, I liked the women who had sabr, the men and the women who had sabr, as-sabireen. Aha, subhanAllah, this is a great ajeeb story, my friends. Great ajeeb. Tell me, so as I was saying, that both Hassan Basri and Hazrat Rabi Basri, both were walis of Allah. Once Hazrat Hassan Basri came in, he came past Hazrat Rabi Basri, and there was darkness around her. She was in darkness, she was a fakira, there was no light, there was no candle, no light, no money. How would she buy this? And Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramadullah came and said, what are you doing in the darkness here? At least have some light here. Some light. I want to see a kitab, I want to see a book. And there's no light in your home. There's no candle, there's no light. There's no visibility. So there was no like formalities, and they had informality. They used to speak openly with each other. She said, what's wrong, Hassan? You want light? He said, yes, I need light. She lifted her finger and blowed on her finger, and the whole room was full of light after that. And he was shocked. He said, huh? What's happened here? SubhanAllah. Light, so much light. He was quiet. He thought, oh, this woman, she's gone beyond me in her rank status. And she said, you want some more light? He said, no, this is enough. But how did this happen, O servant of Allah, wali of Allah? How did you get this maqam, this rank? She said, Hassan, until today you've not realized, you don't even know about your own maqam, your status. Then he said, again, tell me, how did you get this status? She said, fanafi dhikr, immersed in dhikr. That I recognized and understood the hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ explained to us, and I did amal on this. I practiced on that. There's no greater action than dhikr of Allah. That the heart that does dhikr of Allah, Allah is with that person. Anyone, a man or woman who does dhikr of Allah, Allah is with that person. Allah is so close to that person who does dhikr of Allah regularly. Now, me and you, we don't understand this. Oh, I'm doing dhikr, 15 tasbihs. The people who do dhikr of Allah, they're not satisfied just on doing this much. Their hearts do not fill. They want to do more and more and more, but they have to stop. Out of necessity in the dunya, may Allah give us such love for dhikr of Allah. Ameen. My brothers, life is short. We've wasted our lives. You, mashallah, pious, I've wasted my life. Let's revise these points. Remember these points. Let's not waste our life after today. I know that you are busy. We are all busy. Busy people. We have a lot of heavy schedules. We have business schedules. We don't have much health and strength. We have issues around us. But listen to this one request of this fakir, that please bring your life into line with dhikr of Allah. Do dhikr in your lives. Bas, that's it. Bring dhikr into your daily schedule. Do dhikr as much as you can. Do dhikr with the love of Allah. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of our issues that are spoilt and we have issues, they will be remedied and cured. Do amal on the hadith of Rasulullah. Believe in this hadith. The Sahaba Ikram, they believed in this, but we don't have belief in this. How great they were. Big Jamaat, big congregation. They were forgiven people. Allah Ta'ala given forgiveness in advance. Allah was happy with them. They had been announced already. Allah was happy with them. But even then, when they heard such a hadith and it reached them, they used to do amal on this hadith. They didn't argue. There's nothing to argue about. There's no fasad. There's no fitnah. There's no doubt. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing dhikr? Oh, just I'll give you a simple formula through this hadith. Very simple. That every deed is reliant on dhikr of Allah. Every action we do relies on our dhikr. The salah will rely on dhikr. So I'm not saying that leave salah and start doing dhikr. No. Do salah, but do dhikr for the sake of your salah. For the sake of salah, so your salah is accepted. Do hajj, do dhikr for the sake of your hajj, so your hajj is accepted. Do dhikr for the sake of your fasting, so your fasting is accepted. So your fasting is of the highest magnitude and rank and status. When we will do such an amal, such an action is like this, that a person, if he doesn't do dhikr, it's like he's living his life blindly. He doesn't know his light, where's darkness, where's west, where's east, where's north, south. There's a note. The person who doesn't do dhikr is like blind. We are like this, me and you. We will not realize the reality of our deeds, that what is the light behind our deeds if we don't do dhikr. When we pray salah filled with dhikr, with the ikhlas, if we do dhikr of Allah, then it's told that the person, when he does prostration, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm closest to that person. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has defined salah as mirajul mu'mineen, as the ascension of the believer to his Allah. So there must be, if there's this status of salah, that salah is the miraj of a mu'min, then somebody will get this, isn't it? Somebody will feel miraj, somebody will get the reward of miraj, isn't it? If miraj, but we don't know that salah is miraj. We don't even feel that we don't even remember how many times did I say Subhana Rabbil Adhim in my sajda, in my prostration. How many times did I say Subhana Rabbil Adhim? How many times did I say Subhana Rabbil Ala in my prostration? I've forgotten. I don't know. My brother's life is like this. That, for example, you have a scab, a wound. When you scratch the scab, you feel it's nice and tickly. Then you scratch it. Then the blood comes out. Then the pain comes. And the life in the world is like this. We have money. We have enjoyment, like the scab that we're scratching. Then after that, the wounds come. Then the blood comes out. And the injury comes, and then the pain comes because of the temporariness of this world and the love we have. And then the time comes, the expiry date comes, and then Allah calls us, death comes, and we're invited to the hereafter. Then the eyes open, and we suddenly realize, and there's no mazad greater than this in this world. Enjoyment. Allah Ta'ala says, the deeds I've given to you, that the enjoyment of the deeds every second increases. You will see that the Quran, doesn't matter how much I read the Quran. This is one page, if I read it every day, my heart will not be filled with contentment and satisfaction. Doesn't matter how much Quran you read. You can read so much the Quran that the pages get worn out and torn. In one Quran, so many people, they keep reading, and their hearts, do they get filled? They still want to read more. Every second Allah Ta'ala instills a taste and enjoyment. But money and dunya cannot give you this. Eternal, it reduces the love of the world and the lust and the passion of the world. For example, you have passion and lust in your youth. And as you get older, the lust decreases. You try to get back to that position of lust and passion that you had, but you are forced to due to old age. It reduces. You can't do nothing about it. You had it for a small period of time. So why don't we attain an eternal thing, and we eliminate the temporary things? So much artificial and fake things have spread in the world, and you'll see them glowing around and attraction, but after some days the taste will go. There's only one genuine taste, and that is dhikr of Allah, which never ends. It never ends. It will never diminish. Dhikr of Allah, the taste and the enjoyment and the reward and the satisfaction gained by the dhikr of Allah will never end, my friends, my colleagues. So this is not a speech that I gave to you, nor is this a bayan. This is not a lecture, nor am I forcing you. I'm just giving you information. That's it. Just information. MashaAllah, you are fortunate. You are good people. You will have some jazba and passion for thereafter, and you've got some fear of Allah, and you will have seen somebody die. You will have seen somebody pass away. You will have given ghusl, bathed somebody who died. You will have loved somebody into your grave. So you'll realize that this person was with me. For example, mother, father, brother, sister, the life is passing. The life is passing. You will have lived your life and thought and seen people go, and you will have thought that my father, he passed away, and he was speaking with me recently. Now he's gone. My mother, she was living with me, and we were together, and she's died now. Where is she? Think sometimes, what is our purpose, our objective? If we have this fear in our hearts, and we have this yaqeen that we are going to die, then there can be no greater amal than this, about which the Rasulullah ﷺ said that the greatest deed in the grave that will save us from the azab, punishment, is the dhikr of Allah. And how it will assist us, the dhikr of Allah. Even then we're scared of picking up the tasbih. Tell me, we're still afraid. Even then our hearts, oh, I'm not enjoying myself, I don't feel like it, what should I do, I don't have time. Oh, I try, but I do this and that. For which reason are we saying this? For who are we saying this? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that you are doing dhulm on your own lives. You are oppressing your own lives. You are doing dhulm on your own lives. On your own lives. That, have we not heard about the events of Fir'aun, Nimrud, and Pharaoh? Have we not heard about what they did and their conclusion? Those people are off track who died, and they have nothing to their name now. Nothing in the record. Why did Allah Ta'ala tell us about the events of the evil people, the sinful people, and the previous nations? Why are we following in their footsteps? We don't even have that recognition and awareness in our hearts that we are following the same lives, the same footsteps. Allah Ta'ala, we believe in Rasulullah, we love him, we have regard for him, we want to hear the naats and the nasheeds, but we don't have the yaqeen on his words. We don't have conviction on his words that such a great amal he is telling us, prescribing to us, and where it's taken us, to the heights. To the heights. What a big maqam Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given to us, that do dhikr of Allah. Do the remembrance of Allah. There's nothing about deception in this, my brothers. This is Quran here, the hadith are here, and the awliyaullah, the walis of Allah, their lives are present in front of us. The pious people who have departed from this world, their lives are in front of us, present. I'll give you an example of the waliya, Hazrat Rabi Basri. He said, what is it? She said, Allah is with me all the time. Allah is fulfilling my request. She was sat once, and I remember a point about this Darvish woman, and her worker was making the food at home. Look here, how Allah Ta'ala is with the people. She was making food, and Hazrat Rabi Basri said, what are you cooking? She said, some curry, a dish. She said, have you put the onion? And she said, no, we don't have any onions. She said, without the onion, I don't have the enjoyment of the taste. So where are the onions? Why have you not put onions in the food? She said, okay, fine. Then there are no onions. I have no money. So I'll ask from the next door neighbor. She said, no, sit here. Why? Because I'm not going to ask. Why? She said, the worker, she said, I promised to Allah that I will take from you, I will ask from you and nobody else. That's it. Look at her status, that those who are with Allah, that can me and you do this? Can me and you do this? No. Allah, for the sake of Allah, give. Please, we beg. Oh, your children, may Allah give them health and a long life. Please give me. We beg and we low down. We stoop to the low levels night and day. Oh, you're a good person. You're great. MashaAllah, may Allah give you status. We don't ask from Allah. And we haven't even got the money. We've just left that person's company and he's swearing at us, backbiting against us. Because this dunya breaks the ties, reduces the ties and the relations. And this dunya doesn't increase them. She said, I promised to Allah that I will ask from you, Allah, and I will take from you and nobody else. Then the worker said, I can't do anything. Then go and ask from whoever you want to ask and see what you get. A second didn't pass. A bird flew from above. It stooped down. It flew, and in its mouth was an onion that had been already, the skin had been taken off. And she didn't put it into the hand of Hazrat Rabi Basri. Straight the bird stooped and the onion fell into the pot that was being cooked. The food was cooked. And she said, and the message from Allah was, cook now and eat this. We don't have yaqeen. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَفْلُونَ فَاذْكُرُنِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Allah says, remember me, I also remember you. Allah. Allah remembers us. Now look at this point, this hadith, the meaning of this hadith is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyid al-Bukhari and Muslim. Now let's pay attention to this. Allah's servants, think now. Think. Why are we lazy from the dhikr of Allah? Wake up. Wake up, oh friends of Allah, wake up. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Allah says, you remember me, I will remember you. Then Allah says, Allah calls again. Allah invites again from this next hadith. Allah says, remember me in your heart, I will remember you in my heart. Now what is the heart of Allah? We don't know. We cannot imagine. Subhanallah. So what we realize is that there is a heart that remembers Allah. There are people who remember Allah in their hearts. If Allah Ta'ala is saying this, what is Allah saying? Remember me in your heart. And if you feel ashamed of doing dhikr or holding that tasbih, saying Allahu, Allahu, and people see you, hey, you doing dhikr, then say Allah once in my heart. In your heart, Allah says, then I will remember you in my heart, Allah says, in the same way I will remember you, just like you're remembering me. Allah says, I'll put the veils between you and the dunya. The people in the world won't even know you're a dhakir. You'll be remembering me. And Allah says, I'll be with you. People say, how is this life so easy and full of nur? But doesn't the people won't know that this man and this woman, they're remembering me, Allah says. And Allah says, I make their lives easy. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah's given the taste, the enjoyment. Okay, fine. Your taste is different. You're a chishti. You are a student of the chishti school of dhikr. You're not Naqshbandi. You can't do dhikr silent in your heart. And you want to be a chishti student. La ilaha illallah. Illahu. Allahu. You're a chishti student. Your sheikh is chishti school. Then Allah says, no problem. You remember me in a gathering. Then I will also remember you in a gathering. Did Allah Ta'ala not say this? Allah says, I will remember you in a gathering. Ah, Allah's gathering. Allah says, listen, this is a hadith I'm telling you. I will remember you in a gathering, but it won't be the gathering like yours, and upside down, somebody's got a beard, somebody hasn't got a beard, somebody's tall, short. No. Allah Ta'ala says, not the deed that you're in. If you remember me in a gathering, Allah says, I will remember you in a gathering better than this, in which there will be the angels who I selected, specially selected angels. Even Jibreel doesn't know them, hasn't seen them. Allah says that there are angels who stay close to me, my special gathering, select angels. And due to what? Because you remembered me, Allah says, and I will sit with them, I will be with them, and I will remember you, Allah says, in the same way. Now where are we sat? In a gathering. In the majlis you've come from so far, have you got any benefit? Are you enjoying? Are you not? What would you be doing at this time at home, celebrating Christmas or sins or shaitani evil actions, or cooking chicken and wait and pestering your wife to cook food and eat and drink and be arguing and slandering and backbiting others, and how this darvish has dragged you to the khanka? Isn't it? Huh? Subhanallah. Do dua for me. Okay? Pray for me. Hi, I don't know if we're going to meet again after today, but remember my words, my friends, don't leave the Karbala. Allah says, I will remember you in a gathering better than your gathering. Don't worry. You come to me, Allah says, remember me in a gathering. You can't bring a gathering greater than me, Allah Ta'ala says. So now Allah says, if you remember me in your heart, I will remember you in my heart. Have you not come for this? Have you come for some other reason? Did you want to meet someone here today? Did you want to eat the langar, the food? Did you come for some other reason? Did you come running here for one thing? Allah Ta'ala said that I've accepted you. I've forgiven you. You are forgiven, mashallah. And the sins that you have, Allah Ta'ala says, I've removed them and transferred them into good deeds. A new lease of life. After today, me and you, we've earned a new lease of life. These are my words, brothers. I'm telling you, I'm not a Mawlana. I'm not giving a speech. I'm not giving a bayan, a lecture. I don't come here to create a group of a lot of people. I'm not asking you for khairat. I'm giving you the khairat of life. Put a value on this, what we've just discussed. A new lease of life again. Is there value of this? That Allah will give forgiveness. Allah's rahmah, bakshish, forgiveness, and marifah, Allah's nin. kindness, and all the sins we performed before today will all be changed into good deeds. Tomorrow I'll bear witness, testify on this day of judgment. Allah, I narrated this hadith. Allah, give us this reward. You promised to us, Allah, you'll give us this reward. Then we should have some shame and some regard that when we leave this door after dhikr, then our lives have changed for the better. Changed for the better. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, we save ourselves from the bad deeds, sins, and we do tawbah from the sins, and we pray salah 5 times a day in jama'ah congregation. And if we go back today, we're lazy, negligent, same lives, fraud, drama. What a waste of time. So do we promise? Do we promise? So that the effort we made for coming, we attain it. May Allah Ta'ala has given us ahsan, great favor, treasure. We're about to die, we're old, we have thousands of illness to our name. Many people, the visas for their death have been issued to them. The stamp has been issued. Allah has karam, mercy, that He's taken us out of the fire of hell and taken us towards paradise. Can we think? Can we imagine that we were today? Anyone tell me who had guaranteed today that I was pious before today? Thousands of bad sins, and we will have sworn to people, taken people's rights and broken their rights and done sins and committed sins physically. But Allah Ta'ala seated us here. Allah gives such karam due to the sadqa of His Habib Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every time Allah Ta'ala brings us back to the path, and through millions and hundreds of deeds and thousands, Allah wants to forgive us. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want anyone here to go into hellfire. Allah's rahmah seeks excuses. This was an excuse. How can I tell you that how I've collected and gathered you today? Wallah billah, I don't need to swear by Allah. I didn't even ever think for a second that we are going to be gathered today. I didn't even think about it for a second. I woke up or got up, and later on I was doing wudu. It was 12:30. Suddenly my thought came in my heart, I need to meet my friends, the brothers, our colleagues. Subhanallah, I came downstairs, I said, today will be dhikr, dhikr, dhikr. He said, what's happened to you in Manchester? They said, what's happened? They were shocked. How will we do dhikr? It's so late. And I said, make the langar, make the food, call the people, invite them, give the announcement, the advertisement, and you are here. Was it hard to come? That when the call comes from Allah, from His rahmah, my Mawla, why are you gathering? I said to him, we do dhikr. And the week we do dhikr on other days. But now Allah said, no, call your friends, your colleagues from before. Call them, they are remembering you. You are remembering them. You remember each other. You are friends. Why Allah? Why? Why have you called? Allah said, call them. Everyone is spoiled, dirty, and become like shaitan. That they've done tawbah. Call all of them. Allah says, I want to forgive all of them. Allah Ta'ala says, I want to forgive all of them. Due to the sadqa, Allah Ta'ala says, forgive them, all of them. Promise that you will correct your faces, you will correct your deeds, and that you will correct your salah. You don't get this chance time and time again in life, my friends. Remember this. That if you make a mistake, ask for forgiveness from Allah. No worries. We can make mistakes. We're human beings. We can make mistakes. Request forgiveness from Allah. But on top of that, remember that promise that Allah Ta'ala made you make, that promise when you put your hand in the hand, that you will pray salah 5 times a day, and you will keep the fast, and you will give zakah, and you will not commit the sins, and we will follow the sunnah. We will not commit excess or oppress anyone. We will not give hurt to anyone or pain to anyone. You promise this, then revise these in your lives, my friends. This is why Allah Ta'ala has gathered us here today. I haven't got time, nor have you got time. I'm a weak person, I'm ill. How I came here today, how we sat today, did you think that something else would occur? Nothing else would occur. We have come here to gather, to remember Allah, to revise and to remind each other that we were burning in hell, we had reached to Jahannam, we were in a bad situation. Allah is Khabir and Basir, and He knows that what pain that we have got in our hearts, and who is forgiven. Allah knew that we were spoiled before today. Allah Ta'ala said, take them out of Jahannam. Where are they going? Allah Ta'ala gathered them. Allah Ta'ala has given us a new lease of life, such a great reward. Allah says, I've forgiven you. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept our coming and our sitting. Okay, remember this. So inshallah we will do the dhikr of Allah now, and dhikr of Allah, we will do jahir dhikr, loud dhikr inshallah. And you, mashallah, do dhikr with love, deep love in the heart, and remember Allah. And the asbab, the lessons I've given to you before today, what I've told you, prescribed to you, do those deeds regularly, correct your salah especially, and very careful and cautious, and live a nice, pure life, clean. Don't give pain to anybody, a life of giving no pain to anyone, and don't go to a group or a party or a function or an event where there are wrong actions being taken out or done. Don't go to the wrong environment, live a nice, clean, pure life, away from sin, devoid of sin, and try to be close to Allah, become friends of Allah. You are all walis of Allah, friends of Allah. If Allah is calling you time and time again to forgive you, there must be a quality in your life. If Allah is giving you His dhikr and He's remembering you, and we are remembering Him, so we should be grateful to Allah that He's called us, He's seated us. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.